This is Fresh Air. A lot of comic actors aren't very funny when they don't have a script in front of them. Not Martin Short. As part of our holiday series of interviews from the archives, we're featuring a 1989 interview with Martin Short. In his years on the comedy shows SCTV and Saturday Night Live, he became a one-man cast of showbiz characters. He created Jackie Rogers Jr., the albino lounge singer, and Irving Cohn, the old songwriter. And Short perfected impressions of Jerry Lewis and Katharine Hepburn. But the character he became most famous for was a homebody, the manic and indecisive Ed Grimley. Short has been in the movies Three Amigos, Inner Space, Three Fugitives, and Father of the Bride. He's now starring with Bernadette Peters in a new production of The Goodbye Girl. The show's in Chicago and begins previews in New York February 13th. Short is great at physical comedy. He used to do pratfalls to get easy laughs as a kid. This interview excerpt begins with me asking Short if he ever hurt himself doing physical comedy.
I once was doing a piece in SCTV called Jerry Lewis Sings Dylan. And I was on top of a eight-page kind of podium, and I was in this bad outfit, and I was singing, "The answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. The answer is blowing in the wah!" And at the wah, a big wind was blowing, and at that point, all my clothes got ripped off, and I was just there in my underwear, polka dot, of course. But there were little strings attached to all my clothes. Well, they pulled, and the Velcro didn't go, so I went flying through the air and landed on my knee, which I'm still.
I shouldn't be laughing.
No, it was okay. But that was not out of me screwing up.
Right.
It was out of me foolishly writing that piece.
You know what you were just saying before about how when you were young you used to buy the lemon pies from the neighbor and you'd purposely trip and land with your face in the pie on the way home, make everybody laugh. When you were young, did you try to make your life into a sitcom as much as possible?
No, it wasn't that. It was just a sensibility in my family. I am the youngest of five, and everyone was funny. I mean, everyone was very funny. My brother Michael has won two Emmys for writing SCTV. He's 6 years older. Comedy was very normal in our family. Do jokes was to be normal. Insult each other was normal. It was an Irish family that could have bursts of anger and then be gone in 1 second. It's very interesting. I have this like opening of Christmas gifts from 1966, a tape that I put on when I was a kid, and I heard it this year, you know, and I was amazed. It was like a mental family. It was like screaming and shouting and then laughing within the next second. No particular rhyme or reason to it. And so comedy was very normal.
Let's talk about some of the characters that you've created. Let's start with Ed Grimley, who you're still doing in animation for Saturday morning television. Who was the character based on? Was it based on a type of person, someone you knew, or was it a part of yourself that you imagined yourself being?
I think it's all those things. I mean, there were a couple of people that aspects of the character were based on. One was a guy I knew in high school who kind of talked like this. His voice would go up. Oh, his hobby was taking pictures. And he said, "Oh, I've taken some wonderful slides. You should really see them." And so that kind of quality. Then there was someone else that kind of talked like that. So I kind of put the voices together, and the enthusiasm for life, I guess, is an aspect of my personality. Ed is like the ultimate heart attack victim who has survived. You know, he just can't. He never did stop smelling the roses, being amazed at how wonderful life is. Everything is fascinating to him. If the phone rings, you know, he'll say, before he answers it, he'll stop and ponder, "Isn't the phone wonderful? There's always such a sense of mystery, I must say." You know, and it becomes very kind of a fascinating adventure to answer the phone. Well, in a way, it is. We just tend to be a little more jaded. So he developed in Second City stage, and I would do him around the house.
He does this great. He has like two different dances. There's the like I'm nervous dance in which he puts one hand on his forehead and dances around in this really kind of uncoordinated fashion. And then there's the I'm happy kind of dance that he does. Where does that come from?
I don't know. I just, you know, I just do these dances, I guess. There's not much thought put into them.
Did you do these as a kid? Did you dance around when you were happy or nervous?
Yeah. I haven't changed that much.
You still dance around when you're
since I was a kid. Again, with these tapes I have. I used to tape a lot when I was a kid. My brother used to say that I was going to tape the first 30 years of my life, listen to it, and then die. That would be, yeah. But my wife, Nancy, will listen to a tape when I'm 15 and be stunned at how similar it all sounds and seems. And, you know, she's someone who will say that, you know, she's... Who was she when she was a teenager? Is she the same? You know, she's gone through different aspects of her personality, and it seems like there's a constant.
Let's talk about Jackie Rogers Jr. A great character.
It's very... Now, let me say something about you. That you like Jackie is very revealing because, you know, there are two camps on Jackie. People either find him totally... I mean, just hate him.
Oh, really?
Or they love him.
Oh, I love him.
Like the cast at SCTV, most of them didn't like Jackie.
Really?
Yeah, they did. They thought it was just kind of grotesque. And we'd write these pieces, Dick Masucci and Paul Ferry and I would write these pieces, we'd take them in the read-through, and they'd just kind of die, you know? But because the cast trusted me, they let me do it. And but I always liked Jackie. Rock and roll musicians tend to like Jackie. Yeah.
Well, I like Jackie because he's so extravagant and so show busy.
Yes, he's also the most self-absorbed
yes.
character that I've ever done. I mean, I did a special a couple of years ago.
He's a lounge singer for any of our listeners who don't know.
Who's also albino.
Yes.
And cross-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
His long white hair. And he once wrote a book based on life with his father, Jackie Rogers Sr., entitled Damn You, Daddy Sir. It's a bad laugh, too. That was the laugh. It's kind of your tongue. It's like a little dog with the tongue through the teeth.
I think it's fair to say that one of his anthems is She Loves Me.
Yes, it was his dad's song. You know, she loves me and my amazement. I love her. What the heck does that mean? Nom, 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 nom.
That's a Sheldon Harnick song.
Yeah.
He also wrote the lyrics for Fiddler on the Roof. And
right.
This is from the show She Loves Me. How did you... I think Jack Jones had the hit of it. How did you choose that song as the perfect showpiece for Jackie Rogers Sr. and Jr.?
I don't know. I used to go into the writer's office at SCTV, and I'd always be like, she loves me under my amazement. And they'd say, you should do a piece on that. And this is 1982, and I kind of said, well, I don't know if this is an old subject matter, you know, lounge singers. But then I thought that I would do a short piece, a two-minute piece, on this character, Jackie Rogers. So we wrote a piece called Jackie Rogers, Old Mother Nature, She Loves Me, which was supposedly something that had been done in 71, and Jackie Rogers had been killed while doing it. Whilst doing it, as Ed would say. And they were finally releasing it 11 years later. And at the end, I needed in a little circle, someone to pop in and say, you know, watch the show. So I invented Jackie Rogers Jr., who was a white-faced albino, to pop in the circle and say, you know, I miss my dad. I hope you won't. Thursday's at 11. And
now, you started off doing musicals, and I think you even had a cabaret act before you started doing
sketch comedy.
No, I never
had
a cabaret?
I used to do cabaret shows. You know, okay. What's a nice country like you doing in a state like this? Stuff like that, you know.
Did you want to be a
the
singer?
The Apple Tree. Yes, I wanted to be Frank Sinatra.
You did?
Senior.
Martin Short is my guest. More after this short break. This is Fresh Air. We're featuring a 1989 interview from the archives with Martin Short.
We talked about some of the characters that you created for a sketch comedy. Let me ask you about one of the impressions that mm-hmm. you did, and that's of Jerry Lewis. I think you're really good at it because you know physical comedy and you can capture the kind of goofy aspects of Jerry Lewis, but you also get the kind of dark side, the bitter side, and the ego of the man. What interests you in Jerry Lewis?
Well, I think initially as a kid, because he's a huge influence, would be the comedy. I mean, as a kid, seeing The Delicate Delinquent, which was my favorite, I just found it so funny. He was so funny to me. I think, again, maybe keeping in the idea that maybe comedy is often best. I mean, I've never done stand-up, and so verbal banter is not intrigued me as much as is interaction, but is, but also surprising the audience. Never, you know, constantly giving 90-degree turns. And Jerry, who would suddenly go, "Wah!" you know, at the top of his lungs, always, it just made me laugh because it was so mental, finally, you know. But then when the other aspects of the personality start to crop up, well, that's even more fascinating because it's like a kind of fascinating painting that you can do without it being obvious. Again, as surprising as the scream is the other aspects of the personality.
How do you rehearse to do him? What do you, do you steady him before doing him?
I would start singing, "Gotta get my old tuxedo pressed. Gotta smile, hold notes and shake." And I tell you what a joy and a thrill and all good stuff. You know, you just kind of, I would suck a lozenge, imaginary lozenge. I don't know why. It's not like he does a lozenge. But it's just an idea of, you know, an attitude. And sometimes you just hear people. It's like music. You know, you hear it and you just kind of get the placement in the voice or the throat and nasal. Or Robin Williams, very kind of like that. You know, God, that happened. There's more back there. You know, so you just kind of play.
Have you heard from any of the people who you've done impressions of?
Well, Robin's a friend of mine, so he finds it very funny. And Jerry Lewis said that he found it very funny.
That must have been a relief.
Yes, it was, because you don't want to irritate someone that you admire. And Hepburn, I don't think she stays up late, that late, or cares.
Now, I've read about you that when you were young, you used to do an imaginary TV show in your room that would run on alternate weeks in your imagination with the Andy Williams Show.
Yes, that is very true, and we were canceled too, finally, which is a tragedy. Hullabaloo, I think, replaced us. Yes, I used to, it was 8:30 Mondays in my mind.
Right.
And we'd tape ahead, you know, we'd have shows in the can. And I'd type things up for TV Guide, you know, highlights Marty will sing. And I would come out, and I had a Frank Sinatra at the Sands album, so I used that as an applause record. And then, you know, I'd use intros from albums, and I'd have a guest, you know, my guest would be Tony Bennett, and Tony would come out and say, "Forget your troubles, come on, get happy. The Lord is waiting to take your hand." I'd sing another song, I just don't remember the words, you know, And he'd be my guest, and then I would, you know, sing with him, you know, with the record, and then I'd go to the applause, and I'd, you know, piece it together, reel to reel. And then I would take, the Playboy of that month and do the interview with Eldridge Cleaver or something, and, you know, I'd sit and you say that we're not moving fast, and, you know, and I'd then read his part, and then I'd end with a medley, and then someone would call dinner, and we'd tape later.
Yeah. Did you sit on a stool and sing like Perry and Andy used to?
Oh, sure, yeah. But sometimes I just throw that stool aside and belt out a big final.
Because that's the kind of informal guy you are.
There was no one restraining me.
So who were your sponsors?
Bull of a Watch was a biggie. And the Kraft people.
they did.
No cigarettes even then.
They did Perry Como.
Yeah. Kraft. Well, I know. They were very generous to help me out as well.
Why, if you were doing an imaginary show, would you have it alternate every other week with Andy Williams? Why not be on every other week?
How could I do my films?
Every week, I mean. What?
How could I do my films?
Oh. Yes.
Remember, yes, I was directing as well.
No, when you were doing these shows, were were they serious in your mind, or were they parodies of the show? I mean, were you doing them for real, or were...
No, it was real. I had a fantasy world that wouldn't quit, you know. I mean, I would, if I got on the back of a bus, I would go to the back of the bus where the windows were kind of oval shaped, you know, so that I'd have more of a sense of riding in a limousine. Do you know what I mean? It's like, and if I looked out the window, or I'd pretend I was, you know, on an airplane taxing off, and fans had, you know, this is at 10. I was just intrigued. By it. It wasn't something, it wasn't like Rupert Pumpkin, or wasn't it?
Rupert Pumpkin, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that sick, you know, it was clearly a fun hobby. You know, it was fun. And while other kids my age were protesting, you go to have a revolution, I was up in my room singing, weather-wise, it's such a cuckoo day, you know. But certainly in no way did it become something that I, you know, would answer to two different names or anything.
Did your imaginary show have a theme? A song?
No, there would be a production number, you know, kind of opening, which would be similar, where dancers come out and go, Marty, it's time for Marty. But, I mean, that wasn't a real theme.
Oh, what a nut.
Yeah. Sad, huh?
Our interview with Martin Short was recorded in 1989. It's part of our holiday series of interviews from the Fresh Air Archives. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.